Mark in chapter number 10. We'll read that together, and then I'll let you be seated. Mark in chapter number 10. And while you're finding that, let me just say what a joy it is for my family and I to have the privilege to serve here at Lancaster Baptist Church and with our pastor and with our staff. It's a privilege. I live a dream, and every day I get to do what I grew up as these graduates, looking on platforms, dreaming someday. And every day I get to do that. I'm so thankful for it. It's a privilege to be here indeed. Mark chapter 10, and let's look together verse number 13. The Bible says, "And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for what we have seen and heard already. What a joy to see these graduates, the investment certainly of their families and these teachers. Lord, we pray your richest blessings upon them. And Lord, now as we take a few minutes and draw our attention to your word, we pray that you would speak to us tonight. May it accomplish in our hearts what you desire and prepare us to live for you as we should this week. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm so thankful to live in the greatest country on the planet. And I'm thankful for what we celebrate this weekend and just giving honor and gratitude to those who paid the ultimate price in helping to preserve the freedoms and liberties we enjoy. I know we've already given honor to the families who maybe were affected by such loss. General George Patton said, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived." And we indeed are thankful as Americans today that such men and women lived who understood the freedoms and liberties in which we enjoy, and they indeed are not free, and who have given their life and some the ultimate price. And today we certainly are grateful for that. What a joy indeed to see these graduations as well, these kindergartners, these eighth graders, and this accomplishment in their life, and just to understand the potential that we have seen on the platform already. And it's exciting to think what these young people could accomplish in their lifetime for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to every mom and dad, teachers, and all those investing in their life, thank you for it. And indeed, what a blessing it is. Well, as we look at Mark in chapter number 10, we come to a time in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ where he is ministering and he is busy about what God has called him to do. And an occasion occurs here where he has a different look about things than even his closest followers, his disciples. And he takes a moment to teach a lesson during this time. We see the Lord ministering to people. And as the story unfolds, as we begin there in the 13th verse, children are brought to the Lord. The Bible doesn't say specifically. I would like to maybe think it was their parents bringing their children to the Lord. And I would say to all the moms and dads in the room, that's one of the best things we can do is bring our children to the Lord and get them to church and being faithful and things of this nature. And as we go into the summer months, certainly we want to be mindful that we're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And it's good to bring our children to church faithfully because we know they need it, right? And so here parents were bringing their children to the Lord, and they were bringing their children to the Lord for a blessing. They wanted the Lord to bless their children, to minister to the children, and to spend a moment with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when they brought their children to the Lord, they faced some opposition. And I don't think they anticipated this opposition. I'm fairly certain they did not anticipate where the opposition came from. Not only did they face opposition in bringing their children to the Lord, but it was from the disciples, the Lord's followers. And as they were trying to get their children to the Lord, their disciples, I believe well-intentioned, knowing the Lord's schedule and his busyness and maybe the weariness he might be experiencing at that moment, and thinking in their minds, boy, the Lord's too important. The work he's doing is too important. What's happening here is too important. He doesn't need to be interrupted by these children. Now, when you and I set out to bring our children to the Lord, to be faithful to church, to honor the Lord and do what's right, we're going to face opposition as well. There's no doubt about it. And these parents did. And the Lord is seeing all of this, and we read in our text that it displeased the Lord. While the disciples maybe thought that the Lord had important work going on and the children should not interrupt, in the Lord's mind, these children were too important not to come to him. And so he expresses his displeasure to his followers, and he tells them that the children should not be forbidden to come to him. In fact, they should come. And so the children are given permission, and I'm sure all the parents are excited. And I don't know if they had as many cameras then as we had tonight, but no doubt they were excited. Their kids were with Jesus, and they were being blessed. And the Lord picks up these children in his arms, and he takes this moment, this opportunity, to teach a lesson. In verse number 15 of our text, as the Lord tells the disciples not to suffer the children to come, then he says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And the Lord, as he rebukes his disciples for forbidding the children to come, as he welcomes the children in his arms and literally picks them up, and maybe is holding a few and some around him, you can just kind of picture the moment in your mind. And as the disciples are there, and those that are looking on and listening are there, here's the Lord, and it doesn't say the age of scholars believe these children were probably preschool age, but here's the Lord with these children. And he looks at all of those looking at him, and he says, "You know what we need? We need to be more like these children. In fact, if we're not like these children in our faith, we won't inherit the kingdom of God." And we know, as Pastor preached this morning, that it is through Jesus Christ and Christ alone that we will have an eternal home in heaven. We're thankful for that. And we must have faith that it is indeed through Christ, his gift of his life on the cross, the blood that he shed, not having to but choosing to, that we can spend an eternity in heaven. And it is a childlike faith. We must believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life, that at the end of his life he gave his life. 3 days and three nights later he rose again from the dead, again doing all of that for us. And it is that faith, by grace, through Jesus Christ, that we can know that he is our Savior. We can have a relationship with him, and we can pull our head tonight knowing where we will spend an eternity. And Jesus Christ looks at these and says to them, there's something to be learned here. Now, in our lives, in our culture today, we might often think of telling people they need to grow up. And you might have someone in your near vicinity right now that you're thinking, they need to grow up. But here Jesus Christ was looking at these, and with these children at his side, taking advantage to tell them, you know, sometimes you need to be like a child. Sometimes you need to make sure you possess a childlike faith. And I believe as the Lord took advantage of this opportunity to teach a lesson, I want us to think tonight quickly, what is a childlike faith? What is it to have the kind of faith that the Lord is talking about here as he's teaching these followers and as he is having these children, if you will, as his illustration or his pattern? And I want us tonight to look at three characteristics of a childlike faith. First of all, a childlike faith is a dependence on God. To have a childlike faith is to understand that we are dependent on God. Children have no problem living dependently on their parents. It's natural, right? Children know they need their mom and dad. They may need their mom and dad in the morning to help get them get ready. They may need their mom and dad for a ride to school. They may need help getting something opened or figuring something out or reading something, depending on the age and the situation of the child. But children know they need their parents. It's not unnatural. It's not weird or abnormal. They need their parents. It's the way it is designed. And you know what? As you and I know, Jesus Christ is our Savior, and as we are the children of God, it is designed by God for us to need him. In fact, the Bible tells you and I in John 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. Ye that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." God says it's designed, it is natural for you and I to be dependent upon the Lord. And in fact, it's unnatural for us to try to live our life without him. And he tells you and I, we have hope of doing nothing without the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right. Now to help us understand this, Joseph, would you run up here real fast? Joseph is my son, and Joseph is 5. And I don't know about in your home, but in our home, we like pizza. And Joseph and I, our favorite is pepperoni. My wife's and the girls, theirs is Hawaiian. Now, let's say tonight, if we got home from church and we had some fellowship and so forth, and we were thinking, man, we need some pizza. We don't have to get up maybe as early in the morning, and we're going to enjoy tonight, and let's stay up a little later than we normally do, and let's get some pizza. And I didn't maybe feel like going out, and Susanna didn't feel like going out. So I said to Joseph, Joseph, here's the keys, buddy. And now we need a pepperoni, and we need two Hawaiians, and I want you to get some pizza and bring those home, okay? Now, nobody in this room would think it realistic for Joseph to go out and to get our family pizza. For Joseph to navigate his way out to the car, for Joseph to back out the car, to drive to the pizza establishment, to order the pizza, to complete the transaction, to get the pizzas and to bring them home. Nobody in this room thinks that's possible. In fact, everybody thinks I'm crazy for asking him. But there's a lot of people in their Christian life living like this. And as crazy as it would be to see a five-year-old boy behind the wheel of a car to get pizza, it's crazier to see a child of God trying to live the Christian life victoriously without God's help. It's not natural to expect, thank you, this young man to go get pizza. And it's not natural to expect that you and I, without God's help, are going to live a life that pleases and honors Him. And God, with these children on His lap, said, you need a childlike faith. And a childlike faith is a dependence upon God. No problem asking for help. No problem admitting, I need Him. No problem understanding, without Him, I can do nothing. Oh, but through Christ, all things I can do. With He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And with God, nothing is impossible. I must live with a dependence upon God. Children understand this. They have no problem with it, but a childlike faith is a dependence upon God. Secondly, a childlike faith is characterized by a desire toward God. A desire toward God. Children love to be around loving parents. Children who know they're loved by their mom and dad love to spend time with their mom and dad. I'm privileged when I get home from the office and get out of the car and go to the door and I open that door and wherever the kids may be scattered throughout the house, I'll hear, Dad's home, Dad's home, Dad's home. And here comes running Mariah and Lydia and Annalena and Joseph, and they'll give me a big hug and Dad is home. And that's something that they've looked forward to. And that's good training on mom's behalf. But there's something exciting at the time of the day when the family is back together. There's an anticipation and there's an excitement that we could be together, that we could spend some time. And a childlike faith is characterized by a desire toward God. Yes, we need God, but we just want to be with Him. We want to spend time with Him. We want to open His Word, and we want to read it. We want to talk with Him in prayer. We want to walk with Him throughout the day. We want to see what our life could be like lived in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. A childlike faith is a desire toward God. Now, God loves us, and we know that. We were reminded of it through the preaching this morning, that God loved, and He gave. And He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And we know indeed tonight that God loves us. And our response to that love should be a desire toward Him. A desire to know Him. A desire to walk with Him. A desire to serve Him. The Bible says in Psalms 42:1, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after Thee, O God. How much is it tonight that we desire the Lord? I think of 1 Peter 2:2, where the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. And I'm thankful that Lancaster Baptist Church has a lot of new Christians and people that are hearing about Jesus. And pastor teaching a room full this morning in the Starting Point class. And people even getting baptized today. And lots of new things happening. And if you've ever been around a new Christian, it's awesome. When pastor gets up and says, let's turn in your Bible, they start in the beginning. Because they want to know what page that book's on. And then they're still trying to figure out the big numbers and the little numbers and what all that means and so on. And they're just kind of figuring it all out. And it's exciting. And sometimes when we've been at it a while or around it a while, we can lose our childlike faith. And if we're not careful, we can go through the motions with the best of them. But our heart's not in it. And Jesus, looking at those onlookers with these children, said, it's a childlike faith. Do you and I possess tonight a desire to be with the Lord? How are we looking forward to this week walking with Him? Are we excited to spend some time with Him? maybe even this summer with some off time, some extra time with the Lord. A childlike faith is characterized by a desire to be with God. So yes, we've got to be dependent upon Him. Yes, we should desire time with Him. But thirdly and lastly, a childlike faith is characterized by a display of a relationship with God. By a display of a relationship with God. You can often tell who a child's parents are by the way they look. We've heard people say, "He has her eyes. When I see him do this, I think of his dad." And if it's not in looks, maybe it's mannerisms. "Oh, he does that just like. She does that just like." And as you begin to see children come into their own and develop a personality and grow and mature, you can tell often who their parents are by how their children resemble them, maybe in their looks or their mannerisms. Well, as you and I know, Jesus Christ is our Savior. We're God's children. The Bible says in Matthew 7:20, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Just as maybe we could tell who's somebody's parents are by the way they look or the way they act or the way they behave, so it should be of you and I that people can tell that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior by the way we live our lives as well. And these fruits or these evidences of this relationship with the Lord, I was thinking of them and I thought about the fact that this evidence or this fruit would first of all be a relationship of transparency. I believe one of the reasons that the children had no problem running up to the feet of Jesus Christ is because their hearts were pure towards the Lord. As the children were going to spend time with Jesus, there was no thought in their mind of, "Well, I've got to confess this, or I've got to make this right, or I've got to take care of this or take care of that." There was nothing hindering them from going up and being in the presence of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But at times, as we get further down the road from being a child, there can be some things in our life that build up that prevent you and I from having that childlike faith. That pure conscience approach, that nothing between me and my Savior. And I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God who forgives. God challenges you and I when we make a mistake, confess it. And He says, "You confess and I'll forgive." And I love God's forgiveness. He takes our sin, He puts it as far as the east is from the west. He buries it in the depths of the sea. He promises to remember it no more, and He washes it as white as snow with the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And God says, "I will forgive you." And tonight, what may be holding us back from a childlike faith is a lack of transparency with our Father. Because there's just something in our life we know displeases Him. And while the children were running to spend time with Him, we might have hung back in the crowd. Because to be close would mean to deal with the issues of the heart. And a child has a way of wanting that heart to be right. Well, you can tell when it's not. And when it is, it makes all the difference in the world. We must make sure we're keeping nothing between you and our Savior. But not only transparency, but I think of this relationship being a trusting relationship. Children, by their very nature, are trusting. Now, you might say, "Brother Rule, I don't know that I would call it that. I think I would call it gullible." You know what? I think God wants us to be gullible when it comes to Him. I think God wants us to be so trusting that to the world it feels like it's crazy trust. I mean, just when it comes to God, we just believe He can do whatever it takes. I mean, we believe He literally spoke this world into being. We believe He literally crossed the Red Seas. We believe He literally sent down fire from heaven. We believe that He literally fed 5,000 men. We believe God can do that. And it's 2015, and God is still in the miracle-working business. He's still saving lives. He's still restoring families. He's still doing all that we can imagine or think is possible. That's the God in which we serve. And I think kids, man, they're trusting of this. They know that it can be done. And we've got to make sure in our relationship with the Lord that we trust Him. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths." We can hoop and holler and say amen about trusting the Lord with all thine heart. The problem that gets me is the lean not to thine own understanding. Children have a way of setting that aside much easier than we do. And we need to make sure that tonight our trust is in the Lord. We need to know tonight that we are in the center of God's will. And that we are pursuing it with a passion. Is there nothing between our Savior? Are we trusting Him tonight? And thirdly, I think of this relationship. It would be a relationship that we would tell about. Children like to brag about their parents. My dad can beat up your dad. My mom's cookies are better than your mom's cookies. My dad can drive faster than your dad, or whatever the case may be. You know, you and I should love telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of the fact that if I got what I deserve tonight, justly, I'd spend an eternity in hell. But because God loved and He gave, and Jesus Christ loved and He gave, I know according to 1 John 5:13, I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven. That's a blessing. And Jesus Christ, in this moment of teaching, the disciples not quite understanding and not thinking it should be so. And Jesus saying, don't do that. Let the kids come. In fact, you're going to have faith like them if you're going to spend an eternity with me. As we think of a childlike faith tonight, as we've seen these children grace this platform, are we dependent upon the Lord? Are we like a 5-year-old going around town trying to get pizza? It's not meant to be that way. It's meant to be done in His power and in His strength. Do we desire the Lord tonight? Do we want to walk with Him and talk with Him and spend time with Him and be in His Word? And tonight, if we have a relationship with Him, is that seen? Maybe there's something in our life tonight that's preventing that closeness of that childlike faith. And even tonight, we could spend a moment with the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. Are we trusting in Him tonight? Do we really believe that God still can? Is it to a crazy level of gullible that we just know if God says it, it'll happen? And then are we telling others about Him? God likes to be bragged about. God likes to hear how much we love Him, how amazing He is, and all the good things we think about Him. And we need to tell Him that in our time with Him. But this week, let's look for somebody else in whom we can tell about our Heavenly Father. As Jesus Christ looked at those onlookers and said, hey, there's a lesson to be learned here. May we tonight, in the presence of these children, be reminded there's something to a childlike faith.